And on today's Windy City Queercast, twat? Who's on the show? Alexandra Billings is here, and we are talking about Prop 8. It stood, folks. What's Alex got to say about it? And what did she do on the day that the verdict came down? Also, what did Cynthia Nixon say in her own state of New York City about gay marriage in that state? And the new movie, Easy Virtue, Richard Knight Jr., has the review. It's from the director of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which I'm talking about as well. And also, the Supreme Court justice nominee has been named. Who is she? And how hard is this going to be to get her on the bench? Alex has her own verdict about all this and more. What a great show.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Alexandra Ben.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 306. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandra Billings.
You are.
I am.
You're still amongst the living. We have not talked to you in so long.
No, I've been very busy out here in Hollyweird.
Well, it is Hollyweird, and let's just get right to it. Proposition 8. We've got lots to talk about, but we just have to go there first. It's been less than 24 hours, and Proposition 8, the announcement came down on Tuesday, and it was not in our favor. I guess it didn't go as badly as it possibly could have, but yeah. The word from the California Supreme Court is that Prop 8 will stand, and Prop 8, which was passed last November, will stand. However, the 18,000 marriages, such as Alexandra Billings and Chris Ann Blankenship, that took place between June 16th and November 4th of 2008, will continue to be legally valid and recognized by the state of California. However, all the rest of the Californians who'd like to get married are shit out of luck. At least for now.
Yeah.
Alex, yeah. Is this what you expected? Did you expect that it would stand?
Yes, I did. Look, here's the deal. The California courts did this for a very specific reason, because they know which way history will turn. They know in history books, when they look back at this particular time in American history, not American gay history, but in American history, in 50 years or more, people will look back at this time and go, what the hell were we thinking? So they know that. They kept the 18,000 marriages legal because they know that eventually, even the federal government, there are Supreme Court justices who are saying, okay, wait a minute. You can't have a bunch of same-sex marriages that are legal and then have same-sex couples be illegal if they want to get married. You can't do that.
Right.
In one state. It's insanity. So they know eventually this will be overturned. But by next year, it'll be back on the ballot. We have more than 62% in our favor voting down the proposition. So it's just a matter of time. What we have to do now is we have to keep our heads. We have to keep rallying. We have to keep marching. And this time, what we have to do is we have to go door to door, literally, physically.
Well, and do you
I have to tell you what happened to me today.
Okay.
I went to go to the doctor to get an MRI, which was really exciting, I have to tell you. But I went to get an MRI for my back because I'm old. And so I went to this thing, which, by the way, there's a great scene in The Exorcist where Linda Blair goes through this MRI, and that's what kept going through my head for some reason. So I kept thinking I was going to speak in tongues, but that didn't happen, thank Christ. So anyway, I went to the MRI. And before you do that, you have to fill out this big, long sheet of papers and papers and papers. And one of the little, you know, boxes that you have to circle is single or married. Now, we had just heard about the decision, like literally minutes before we walked into the doctor's office. And so I got to put down the word married. Now, I've been doing this for 12 years because Chris Ann and I got married in Chicago 12 years ago. So we've always considered ourselves married, proposition or no proposition. That's the way we've considered ourselves, wife and wife. And we've always signed everything with our married names. We've always worn wedding rings and we've always told people we were married. We never have a problem with that. But to be able to do that legally on a piece of paper, it was the first document I signed that I was able to actually put that word down and look at it. And I turned to Chris Ann and I went, you know what? This is what needs to happen to every single gay American in the world. This is what needs to happen. Because I know it's little, I know it's insignificant, but it's those tiny things that the heterosexual population in the United States and in most every other country takes for granted. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to do that legally in this state, it was really a strangely like emotional moment for me. Mm-hmm. And so when we were driving home, I thought to my, you know, we were talking a lot about it. And I turned to Chris Ann and I said, it literally is a matter of time. Mm-hmm. So I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked. But there's also a sense of peace for me. Mm-hmm. Because I may sound like the eternal optimist, but I really believe in human nature. I believe that people will begin to understand that what happens in someone's bedroom has nothing to do with their heart.
Mm. Well, you know, and it's interesting because, and that's such a beautiful story that happened today for you, checking that box. What is interesting in what I hear you saying is that almost California flew the Hail Mary and is hoping that the Supreme Court will catch it because they don't want to be the bad guy. Like, they don't want to be the one to say we're overturning this because then people will come out and say this was voted on twice and it didn't pass. And so now what they can do, as we're seeing, I mean, just to say, let's just reiterate for all of you listening where marriage stands now. We have 12 states plus Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, that have laws that provide at least some form of state-level relationship recognition for same-sex couples. Then we're going to have Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, Vermont in September, and Maine in September, recognizing marriage for same-sex couples under state law. And then there are many other places. We've got 5 states, California, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Oregon, and Washington, plus DC, that providing same-sex couples with access to state-level benefits and responsibilities of marriage, but they call it civil unions or domestic partnerships. So it's, and then Hawaii as well, has limited rights and benefits. New York recognizes marriages by same-sex couples entered into outside of New York. And New Hampshire and New York are considering marriage legislation in both those states. You know, it's really interesting because Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City, she's really kind of becoming, in a wayward way, like such a great every woman, I think, voice for us, because she spoke at this rally in New York City that was around this same-sex union bill that New York Governor David Patterson has put out. And, you know, she announced at the rally that she was engaged to her girlfriend and that she said...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And she said, we want to get married right here in New York City where we live, where our kids live, where our friends can just stroll down the block to wish us well. And not incidentally, we would like to spend our wedding revenue dollars here in New York City. And, you know, she's a 43-year-old actress, and her girlfriend is Christine Marinoni, who's 42. You know, and she's lending her voice, you know, which has been great because she's been really proud and out since this is really her first lesbian and only, I think, lesbian relationship since leaving.
Well, you know,
husband.
What's interesting, you know, you bring up the fiscal end of this, which is really fascinating to me because it's Michael Steele, who's a blithering idiot, came out with this big he started to pontificate about, you know, this gay marriage is bad and it's bad for the economy. And he kept saying all these things like, you're getting married. If you get divorced, then I have to pay for it. If you do this, then I have to pay for it. And there was this wonderful article in Newsweek not too long ago, which basically said, here's the deal. If you allow same-sex couples to marry, you have the revenue from their marriage certificate, which is $35 per certificate. You have registry, you have gifts, you have a wedding accoutrement, you know, like the cake and the dresses and the hooey and the pooey.
The hotels.
And all this, vacations, schmengi schmoo, all this money that all these homosexual people are going to be throwing into the pot. And if you take all of that money, it comes out to something like $1.2 billion. Literally, all that money that we could put towards the deficit, anybody's deficit in the United States. I mean, everybody's sinking. And so my point is that all of these arguments, you know, because they don't want to mention God or the Bible because they know they're going to lose that way. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to go at it another way. But every single argument they come up with, everybody's going, yeah, that's not exactly right.
Well, yeah, and it's already there was just a survey that came out last week, which we did a short news story on, that said that with Massachusetts now, it's been 5 years, if you can frickin' believe it. So they have a 5-year economic way of telling how much money has come to that state since gay marriage. And they said that there has been a big economic boost. Not only are more highly educated professionals who are competitive and spending great money coming to Massachusetts because it's a place where people can get married, but that the statistic was something like 1 in 10 couples spends more than $20,000 on their wedding. So, and that most same-sex couples spend $7,400 on a wedding. So, you know, that is some significant cash.
Yeah. And so, like, what do we do with all that cash? Well, let's put it towards the state. Well, let's put it towards let's plug up some holes with all of this money. Yeah. And, you know, it's every single excuse they come up with is being torn down by every major publication, every court, every lawyer with a, you know, that's worth their sack of salt is coming out and going, yeah, you know, you guys, these arguments, they actually are A, not true, and B, mean nothing.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, and I'm thrilled that everybody's so pissed off in California, and as well they should be.
Well, because y'all have a huge fucking deficit. You need some of the income coming into your state.
Hello. But the thing about it is that what we have to keep remembering is this particular – The way this went down was actually ingenious because, and you know, I don't know if anybody listening sort of remembers that, but Chris Ann and I were married legally in the state of California on the very last day.
Right. You told the big story.
Yeah. We filmed the whole thing. By the way, if you can see the film, it's on my YouTube site. It's on Alexandra Billings 99. So you can go to YouTube and you can find my site and you can watch the video. I'm also on Facebook and I'm going to post it there too. I'm going to repost the video and my blog. But that particular day, I have to tell you, that day was so crazy because our very, very dear friend, Matt Valley, came with us to be a witness. And as I said, you know, Chrisanne and I have been married for a number of years, for 11 years at that time. And so we went down to the court just to get the piece of paper because Chrisanne's like, I want to do this. I want to get the piece of paper. I want to do it. And I was like, absolutely. So we went kind of down going, well, you know, we'll get the piece of paper and hoop-de-poo. And of course, we go down there and they say, well, you can't have this because you have to have a ceremony. And we're like, we had a ceremony. Well, you have to have one. Well, all right. So we're scrambling to find a church because it's the last day. So we call our good friend Jeff Perry, who is just a dream and literally on the phone is going to the internet and finding churches for us that are open. So we go to this little church in West Hollywood and we ended up having like this most – it was a beautiful, romantic, lovely ceremony. And the whole journey of that day – from the beginning to this war we had to fight to find a church and get all of our shit together before, you know, midnight that night and get the certificate signed, to having it the end of the day sort of be like coming, you know how Dorothy opens the door in The Wizard of Oz and everything turns into color?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it was like. Like the end of the day, we kind of walked out of the black and white Kansas and walked into Oz. Mm. So I really think that the way this went down is exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Next year, the proposition is going to go back on the ballot. We have a 62% approval rating of same-sex marriage now. Everything's going to be fine. And I have to say this. That little Miss California runner-up chick, whatever her name is, Carrie Prejean. Prune face.
Yes.
Have you heard her?
Yes.
This little chick?
Yes.
With the fake boobs and the naked pictures?
With the lesbian mother, you know.
With the lesbian mother. And the rumor is that the reason that her father, the reason that her father, her father and her mother got divorced is because her father had a homosexual affair.
Well, she might be a little bitter party of one. And you're entitled. You're entitled if your parents were closeted to be a little bitter
absolutely.
Party of one.
I'll tell you the most interesting thing is like she was giving this press conference, and one of the questions thrown at her was, so tell us why you don't believe in gay marriage. Tell us why. And then she goes, well, it says so in the Bible, in the Bible, the Bible, in the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And then out of nowhere, she turns to her left and she looks at her mother, who was sitting two seats away from her, and she says very clearly, and that's what my mother taught me.
Ooh.
And it was really fascinating. And I thought to myself, you know, this younger generation who's being raised by these religious fundamentalists, I don't know that it's what they really believe. I think mommy tells me this, so I need to make mommy love me. So that's what I believe. Or daddy tells me this, I need to make daddy love me. That's what I believe. I look in that chick's eyes and I see her. And I go, I'm not buying what you're selling, honey. Mm-hmm. Opposite marriage? Come on. Opposite marriage. She thinks what is opposite marriage?
Is opposite marriage is when your homosexual father marries your lesbian mother. That's opposite marriage.
That's completely opposite marriage.
That's completely opposite marriage. And totally unnatural.
That's Francis Farmer marriage is what that is.
That is what the Bible is talking about.
That's crazy.
Unnatural marriage. Well, you know, it's interesting because, as you said, you know, there's another statistic that came out today that does say that that in the past 10 years, public acceptance of marriage equality for same-sex couples has changed dramatically. This is a Washington Post ABC poll, so it's probably more liberal than, say, the Chicago Tribune poll. But it says that Americans who say they support marriage for the first time is a bigger number, 49%, than oppose it at 46%. Now, that's on a national level. I mean, you know, when we have Iowa having same-sex marriage, come on. I mean.
Yeah, I know. I mean, honestly.
Who's going to get married? Like four lesbian farmers and, I mean, you know.
And a cow.
And a cow. And a gay rooster or something. I don't know. Like, who the hell's going to get married?
Oh, I want to see a gay rooster. What a gay rooster. Cock-a-doodle-do, Mary.
Cock-a-doodle-do, Mary.
I'd like a little cock in my doodle-do.
Mmm. So if this whole thing gets passed on to the Supreme Court, we had another big announcement made today with Sonia Sotomayor being named Obama's pick for the Supreme Court justice seat left by Souter. And, you know, this as well is a pretty historic nomination. A Latin person of Latin origin from Puerto Rico, and a woman. So would be the third woman to ever be a Supreme Court justice. And already they are saying, even though Obama said today, it was really, did you see her speak today?
I didn't. We were out. You remember I was doing The Exorcist.
Oh, today. That's right. You were having your moment, your marriage moment. Well, for those of you who may not know much about her yet or haven't looked to me for all your information, God love you. She was born in the Bronx. She's a Yankee fan. She went to school in the Bronx and then ended up going to Princeton and Yale.
She's smart.
She's very smart. She said today in her press conference that her number one role model was her mother, who raised her and her brother after her father died at a very young age.
Well, that's right. She had a similar childhood to Obama's. Isn't
very
that right?
Similar. And she said things like, "I am standing on the shoulders of giants." She said, "I happen to just be an ordinary person who has been given extraordinary opportunities and experiences." And they're really trying to make it that they show not only does her life experience give her a great perspective for the bench, but that also she is more qualified than any other Supreme Court nominee at the time that they entered the Supreme Court. She
Is
has,
that right?
Yes. She's currently a part of the U.S. Court of Appeals, I believe. But she practiced trial law. She has done big company corporate law. She's been an assistant district attorney. That was when she was doing trial law in New York. And then she was in private practice. She was nominated by the first Bush. First President George H.W. Bush, as to become a federal judge. And then she was also nominated by Bill Clinton to the U.S. Court of Appeals. So it's like she's got the Bushes, she's got the Clintons, so she's kind of got those two dynasties who backed her. But this is the statement that they're coming out now, because, you know, we're going to be hearing about this now for 60 to 90 days. Hopefully it's 60, but I don't know. These Republicans are so desperate. The 12 of them are so desperate. The Republicans
right.
in the U.S. But they're saying that they're talking about her brusque approach on the bench and kind of her demeanor. And of course,
what the hell
women,
does that mean?
Well, it just means she's clear and direct and she's tough and she makes attorneys who are presenting to her get to the root of whatever their argument is. And you would
God
never
forbid.
And that she's extremely, as a couple of her clerks said, one of her clerks said to Diane Sawyer that I saw today, said, "You know what? She's one of the kindest, warmest, you know, people I've ever worked with in this field, and a great mentor." And said, I couldn't imagine anything opposite what they're saying, that she'd have anything in her demeanor that would be a negative. Said, but she is one of the absolutely most prepared judges I have ever seen go into a court. Now, would we be talking about this if it was a white man? You know, is it because she's a Hispanic woman? I mean,
yeah, no, I mean, let's face facts. We wouldn't be talking about this if she were a man, period. Because first of all, the fact that she's either brusque or brisk or brass or brassy or, anything other than quiet and demure puts her in some other category. You know, now we get down to gender. Now we get down to the stuff that drives me freaking crazy. You know, that any kind of arrogance or any kind of preparedness or any kind of forcefulness is some kind of male trait.
Yep.
But you know, we you're talking about a bunch of old, really old men who are really, really angry, Amy. These guys are so pissed off right now. They don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
And they have this terrible fear that all these gays and all these women are going to start marching into the men's locker room. It's really bizarre. I've never seen this kind of behavior before. But these men are running scared.
Yeah.
And this woman probably scares them to death.
Yeah.
So no, we wouldn't have this conversation. But when Hillary ran for president, we had a bunch of conversations. Like when they said she cried, which by the way she never did.
Yeah.
She was very tired and her voice broke. And it was the biggest news story on the frickin' planet.
Yeah.
All these rules just drive me nuts.
Yeah.
They drive me crazy. I don't understand them. I don't understand why we have to assign gender to traits. And let me tell you something else. That, my dear, is at the crux of this whole same-sex marriage issue. I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with the lesbians and has everything to do with the rights idea that the American male is becoming emasculated. I mean, we've talked about this many times before, and I'm telling you, every time people talk about same-sex marriage, well, every time the right, the far right, talks about same-sex marriage, what they're talking about are the men, not the women. I'm telling you, most every news story you see has males in it.
Yep.
Pictures of men. They're talking about the men. The whole issue revolves around what is happening to the American male. We cannot stand the fact that daddy is in love with daddy. It makes us crazy.
Yeah. It's true.
It's really insane. It is true. I'm telling you. And the thing about it is what needs to happen. It's not just about a gay movement. It's about a female movement. It's about women all over the country, but truly here in the United States of America going, you know what, you guys, we can actually do everything you can do. Mm. And sometimes, and don't take this the wrong way, but sometimes we can do it better.
Yep. Well, we definitely need that voice on the Supreme Court. I definitely think that having diversity on the court, diversity of life experience is important. And part of that difference of life experience is going to be gender. Part of it is going to be race. Part of it is going to be the generation in which you grew up in. They can't all be 70s. You know, some of them need to be in their 50s. I mean, obviously, you're probably not going to be a 30-year-old on the Supreme Court. But, you know, there needs to be some diversity of age.
Yeah, and, all those ethnicity. White guys, they need to get the hell out of town. They need to get the hell out of town. The new generation, the new 50-year-olds, they need to let those people in because all those people were brought up in a different time, in a different place with different rules. And they need to let those voices be heard.
Yeah,
get out. True. Go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Totally true. Totally true. Hey, we've got such a big show. It's so great to have Alex back here and catch up with her. We're going to do more of that. Need to let you know that now we're going to go to the news, Kirk and I, telling you what else is going on this week. There has been other news that has been happening in the past few days, although these are the two big news stories of the past 24 hours. Also, Easy Virtue. It's the new film with director Stephen Elliott. He is the director of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which I was just watching. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. New film, Easy Virtue, Richard Knight Jr. giving his review, and what's going on in the theater scene. Still some really great theater that you can see here since the weather's not quite great yet in Chicago. Still nice time to go out and hit a play. So we'll be back with Alexander Billings after all of that.
Hooray!
Pride Fest 2009.
Pride Fest.
June 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Summerfest Grounds in Milwaukee, where Midwest Pride meets on Milwaukee's lakefront for the world's largest gay music festival, featuring full concert performances by Cyndi Lauper, Brandy, Etta James.
Hey.
September. You'll never see me again. And over 100 other performers. Pride Fest 2009, June 12th, 13th, and 14th at the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee. Get your tickets now at PrideFest.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. President Barack Obama has tapped New York City Health Commissioner Thomas Frieden to helm the Federal Centers for Disease Control. Frieden's accomplishments in New York City include banning smoking in bars and prohibiting the use of trans fats in restaurant foods. However, Frieden was also blamed for causing panic regarding a multi-drug-resistant strain of HIV.
In Maryland, the Montgomery County Council voted to remove $55,000 in county funding from Food and Friends, a D.C. nonprofit that delivers meals to people living with HIV, AIDS, and cancer, because of Executive Director Craig Schneiderman's huge salary. Schneiderman made over $350,000 in salary and benefits in 2007. The agency is reportedly saddened and puzzled by the decision.
There is more controversy for Miss California Carrie Prejean. Lesbian sales rep Valerie Vetrano has claimed that she was in a same-sex relationship with Prejean's mother, Francine Coppola. Vetrano said that the relationship ended shortly before Prejean entered the Miss USA competition.
In New Hampshire, Republicans are urging Governor John Lynch to block a same-sex marriage measure before the State House and Senate put together a compromise amendment. A bill passed through the legislature in early May, but Lynch said he would not sign it until there were more protection for churches that are against same-sex marriage.
In Maine, the state's Human Rights Commission has concluded that trans woman Brianna Freeman was likely the victim of illegal discrimination in 2007 when a Denny's manager stopped her from using a women's restroom. In addition, the regional manager and director of operations told Freeman to use the men's restroom until her sexual reassignment surgery was completed. Freeman's complaint is the first of its kind that the commission has handled.
In New Jersey, the state's Motor Vehicle Commission has made things easier for trans individuals. Now they can alter their gender markers before sexual reassignment surgery is done. Now individuals who undergo the surgery do not have to provide proof of the medical procedure or present a birth certificate before updating their licenses.
Colorado Governor Bill Ritter has signed a measure that gives same-sex domestic partners of state employees the same benefits as spouses of heterosexual workers.
And in Omaha, a trans girl has been banned from attending St. Wenceslas' school because administrators objected to her wearing girls' clothing.
Meanwhile, in Texas, San Angelo Mayor J.W. Lone has left office to be with his partner, a Mexican national who cannot legally reside in the United States. The couple is in Mexico awaiting a visa so they can legally return.
The San Diego City Council unanimously proclaimed May 22nd as Harvey Milk Day. May 22nd was Milk's birthday. He would have been 79. Though in Ramona, California, Natalie Jones, a sixth grader, was not allowed to give a class presentation on Milk after administrators made classmates get parental permission to listen to it. Mount Woodson Elementary School's policy states that parents must be notified if students listen to lessons about family life, human sexuality, AIDS, or sexually transmitted diseases.
In world news, in England, new anti-discrimination laws dictate that churches and religious organizations must accept gay youth workers and other staff workers. Church leaders had hoped to be exempt from the new measure. However, Deputy Equalities Minister Maria Eagle said that almost all church employees are now protected.
In Finland, parliament members voted 108 to 29 to allow same-sex couples in registered partnerships to adopt their partner's biological children. Children would be eligible for alimony and would be able to inherit the non-biological parents' estates.
Police in Russia broke up a gay rights rally in Moscow that was timed to coincide with the final of the popular Eurovision Song Contest. Among those arrested were organizer Nikolay Alexeyev, British activist Peter Tatchell, and Chicago's Andy Thayer of the Gay Liberation Network. The activists were released the following day on May 17th.
In India, 11 trans individuals who allegedly kidnapped a boy, castrated him, and forced him into prostitution have been granted bail. In addition, the Sessions Court granted bail to the doctor who reportedly performed the operation on the boy.
In Senegal, the body of a man thought to be gay was removed twice from a cemetery in the town of Fes. The man, who was in his 30s and who died of natural causes, was buried in a Muslim cemetery, but villagers exhumed the body. The family reburied him, and the local exhumed the deceased man again. He has since been buried elsewhere. In his country, those who commit same-sex acts can be sentenced for up to 5 years in prison.
In entertainment news, the Obama administration has chosen Broadway producer Rocco Landsman to lead the National Endowment for the Arts. Landsman, behind hits including The Producers, Big River, and Angels in America, is known for his aggressive personality and is expected to shake things up at the NEA.
In case you haven't heard, glam rocker Adam Lambert finished second to pop rocker Chris Allen in the season finale of American Idol. However, what you may not have heard is how out Lambert supposedly is. Blogger slash pageant judge Perez Hilton said of Lambert, "He's not in the closet. I went to a party he had last week, and he was openly gay with me there. If he was really concerned, he wouldn't have done that. Lambert's boyfriend is very cute. I think he works in fashion or design."
Fergie has now come out of the closet as a bisexual. The Big Girls Don't Cry star and lead singer of the Black Eyed Peas said, "Put it this way, I've experimented definitely, but I have never had a steady girlfriend." She added that the group's next video, "I Got a Feeling," features a little girl-on-girl tease section.
A daytime soap star has reportedly left a show because of a same-sex kiss. Chris Angan, who played Adam on The Young and the Restless, allegedly walked off the set because he refused to kiss Rafe, the only gay character on the serial, played by Yanni Gelman. Adam will be played by Michael Muni of TV's Veronica Mars, starting with the June 25th episode.
Celebrity couple Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick reportedly are using a bisexual woman to act as a surrogate mother. Speculation runs rampant that Michelle Ross, who previously acted as a surrogate for a gay couple, is carrying twin girls for Parker and Broderick.
And in a speech at the 2009 Bio International Convention at the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, singer Elton John said that more work must be done in tackling the HIV pandemic. "I often have to stop myself and ask why it is left to my foundation, the Elton John AIDS Foundation, and others like it, to address this global issue of existential consequence," John said. "The answer, in short, is that collectively the world's governments and industries are too often ignoring reality, and this creates a gap between what government and industries are doing to reverse the HIV/AIDS pandemic and what they should be doing." And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Bud Light presents Regeneration Tour 2009, starring ABC. Friday night, June 26th, on stage at Rosemont Theater. Don't miss ABC. Berlin. Wang Chung. 17, Cutting Crew, Regeneration Tour 2009, Friday night, June 26th at Rosemont Theater. Get more at regenerationtour.com. Get tickets Friday morning, April 17th at 10 at Rosemont Theater box office, Ticketmaster, Ticketmaster.com, or RosemontTheater.com. Brought to you by Bud Light. The difference is drinkability.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Stephen Elliott, the openly gay director noted for The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, returns to filmmaking after suffering a life-altering skiing accident in 2004 with a frothy adaptation of the Noel Coward comedy of manners play Easy Virtue, which was also the basis for an early Hitchcock film. Jessica Biel stars as Rita, a madcap race car driver from America who smokes, drinks, and makes no secret of her passion for her new husband, the sexy John, played by Ben Barnes, the scion of a snobbish but stony broke English family that welcomes him home with open arms and his new wife with the cold shoulder. The movie, set in the roaring 20s, combines the eccentric character elements of Gosford Park and the dizzy froth of Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day, and is a sort of jazz-age mother-in-law with Beale's hot little platinum blonde pistol pitted against John's mother, the implacable, overbearing Veronica, played by Kristen Scott Thomas, who presides over her down-on-their-luck, tweedy family with an iron fist and rattles Loretta with venomous comments. Colin Firth plays her distracted, henpecked husband, and there are also two gawky sisters, a pair of comedic servants, and a runty, obnoxious lapdog that is a family pride and joy and the bane of Ruth's existence. The action, which includes a climactic ball and a hunt scene directly out of Maine, is set in the crumbling down estate the family clings to as the mother hopes that little Lord Spoiled Brat will take on the burden of running the place. But Loretta has other plans and wants her husband off to the next race as soon as her speeding roadster can carry them. The madcap pace of the film is helped along by new, jaunty renditions of a raft of coward tunes, including Mad About the Boy and hot jazz baby arrangements of some oddities like Car Wash, which actually work quite well. Elliot's got all the right elements and the film zips along, but his conception has one rather noticeable sore thumb in the cocktail shaker. Deal. He doesn't really have much talent for brittle comedy and is hopelessly out of her element around the other actors who make hay out of the sharp dialogue exchanges. Gill displays a light vocal touch with a few songs, but she doesn't have much variety in the speaking department. Certainly not enough to make her lines zing. Later, though, she gets better when the depth of the character enters in and we see that Larita's had to do a lot to rise above her station. And every time Firth enters the scene, oh my God, he's just effortlessly terrific, as is Thomas as the horrid mother. Bill's rather lumpen line readings aside, Easy Virtue has enough stylish zest and laughs to make it an easy recommendation. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Mary Poppins, the world's most famous nanny, has arrived, and all Chicago is feeling the magic.
It was just hopeful and bright, and there was wonderful spectacle. It was just really uplifting.
I loved the sets and the costumes, everything about it, bright and colorful and magical.
It's so good. It's so enjoyable.
It's just a great story. It's an unbelievable adventure. It's just a lot of fun.
I think that I've gotten to a point in my life where there's not a lot of magic. And it's really great to be able to see something that, you know, takes you to a place that's magical.
Put a little magic in your life with the musical that soars high above the rest. Mary Poppins, live on stage at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com today.
You're going to go in feeling great and leave feeling even better.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 25th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Writers Theater presents A Minister's Wife, starring Kate Fry and Alan Schmuckler. Michael Halberstam directs this world premiere musical, adapted from Shaw's Candida by Austin Pendleton, with lyrics by Jan Tranen and music by Josh Schmidt, the award-winning composer of The Adding Machine. Sharp, witty, and tender, A Minister's Wife explores the fires burning beneath the surface of an ordinary marriage and discovers a secret in the heart. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
American Theater Company, in association with About Face Theater, presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, an award-winning rock musical about a young East German who gives up a little part of himself in order to escape communism for freedom in the U.S. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is extended now through June 13th at American Theater Company. For tickets, go to atcweb.org.
Heart-pounding attraction, all-night conversation, Love Person, now on stage at Victory Gardens Theater, captures the giddiness of new love affairs, says American Theater Magazine. Love Person introduces us to two couples, gay and straight, three cultures, and four languages in this love mystery performed in American Sign Language, Sanskrit, English, and projected email. Use the code FRESH for $5 off tickets. Order now at victorygardens.org.
Remy Bumbo Theater Company presents Harold Pinter's mysterious masterpiece, Old Times, starring Nick Sands, Linda Gillum, and Jenny McKnight. Enter into a daring game of competing memories where everything is at risk. Old Times runs now through May 31st at the Greenhouse Theater Center, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information, visit remybumbo.org.
Timeline Theater presents the Chicago premiere of Alan Bennett's Tony Award-winning drama, The History Boys. One of the smartest shows I've seen all season long, says the Wall Street Journal, and the Tribune raves terrific. A triumphant revision Chicago style, a huge hit for Timeline. Don't miss The History Boys. It's now extended through August 2nd. Visit TimelineTheater.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
So, Alex, I was actually sitting and watching Priscilla, Queen of the Desert tonight, and I haven't watched that movie in forever. And it was such a great movie. And
good
I remember
film.
I was Twittering about it. I was about to Twitter about
Stop
it.
Stop saying Twittering. Hey, here's my question.
Yeah.
When you twit, is the past tense of twit to twat?
Tweet, twat, whatever.
You can't say twat like
you
I just
tweet,
twatted.
I say twat. I don't know. I'm sure Jane Fonda
say twat.
Says twat.
I like twat. I like it. I think it's good. Like I'm going to Twitter, and after I Twitter, I just twatted.
Yep. And then Oprah is Skyping now. You know, she had like a whole show about where in the Skype are you? Like she thinks like she's discovered Skype, like she discovered a fossil that's been buried for. It's hilarious.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
She is a fossil.
Aw, Oprah. But look, you knew about it before Oprah, so good for you, Alex, being in the technological
Well, I knew
age.
About it only because of you, because well, you said Skype, and I went, I don't know what the hell you're talking
Skype.
About. And now I have things on my head.
So I was going to Twitter about watching Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and somewhere in the back of my brain, because I have recesses where I store information that I just don't get out when I'm recording a podcast or over cocktails or, you know, passing somebody on the street that I just need to say something
I love recess. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. In the back recesses of my head. And I remember thinking, isn't there a Priscilla Queen of the Desert musical that was done in Australia, like the Dirty Dancing movie made? And there is. And I just posted
I know.
On my Twitter. And it just opened in London, like literally about 6 weeks ago. And I wanted to come to the U.S.
Well, and then I need to be in it.
You
do. Because what the hell is that about?
Yeah, you do. Maybe I could be like the, maybe you should play, you can play like the lead. And I just want to play the little woman whose drag queen old boyfriend comes back and we have the baby.
Oh, that's actually a really good role for you, Amy. That's actually, that seriously, that's a good role for you.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's produce it ourselves.
Let's do it.
Let's just do it.
That's how we did Xena, remember?
That is how we did
Well, that's how you did Xena. I didn't do it. You did it.
Well, you did it, but you didn't do it.
Well. I was in it, but you did
you
it.
Twatted, I mean, you but I tweeted, so it's.
Like... I twink twonk twonk. I am. I love the Facebook. I know you don't like the Facebook,
oh,
but
fuck
I
Facebook.
Love. I don't like. Here's why I don't like tweeting. Tweeting. Twatting.
You haven't tweeted, so how do you know if you've never twatted? How do you know?
Because no. Now I went to the thing because that was becoming very big. Like I got. It took me a year to get on Facebook because I was very reticent, and I was like, I don't. Want to do it. It's freaky. I fuck a freaking put to. And then a friend of mine, I don't remember who was it, somebody. Anyway, somebody said, oh, it was Lindsay Jones. He said, no, you are, and I trust Lindsay Jones implicitly. So he said, go on this thing. You're going to love it. And I went on it. And now I'm addicted to it. I love it. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
Plus, here's what I love about Facebook is that I can post my videos and like all these people actually watch them. And I find people who are just as obsessed and strange and pathetic as I am, which is what makes me happy.
Yep.
So anyway, so then somebody said, okay, we have to start tweeting or twatting. And I went, okay, well, I'll twat. So I went, somebody sent me a link and I went there and it was like, I don't even know what it was like. It was like standing in the middle of the freeway having 50,000 cars come at me. I was so confused. And then it was like, hello, I'm brushing my teeth. Hello, my name is Sarah. Hello, I'd like to see you. Hello, my butt is itching. I have a large anus. And I was like, I can't. And it kept information kept coming at me and I couldn't read anything. I don't like it.
Well, that's because you're not discriminant. And I
don't know what you mean by that. And I think that's a personal attack.
It is a personal attack, but we know each other well that I just need to hold up the mirror every now and again. No, you want the masses and that's fine. and you want the masses.
I don't want the masses.
Yes,
the masses
you do,
come to me.
You don't like crowds, but this is a controlled crowd for you, Facebook. And for me, I just want a microphone, and Twitter is like the typing microphone. It goes out. I can choose to look at stuff coming in, but it just goes out. It goes out, out, out. And even though it is a give and take, I'm not building a little community in the way that Facebook
is. Yeah, but no, you don't get to converse with anybody. You don't get to, like, say hi. You don't get to share stuff. It's just like, do something with me now before I kill myself. And
yeah, I don't want to converse with you. I have no time to converse with you. I mean, it's taken me 6 weeks to converse with you. I mean, you meaning the general you. Like, I don't need to converse. Let me tell you, it's truly like a self-promotion marketing tool. And if you have...
Yeah, but does anybody pay attention to you, really? I mean, come on. Honestly, Amy, everybody's throwing out information so quickly that everybody's like taking their bags of information and flushing them down the toilet. Who goes into the toilet to besides Oprah? Who?
Well, I don't know. I got like 70.
I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
I got 70-something followers. Any of you listening want to follow me? Amy Matheny is my Twitter. Twitter.com.
Do you know
Amy
how many
Matheny.
People I have on my Facebook?
You have thousands.
I have 1,000. And 75 friends.
Right.
I know 4 people on the planet, of which you are one.
Well, I'm not on your Facebook
page,
so I don't know who you're talking to, except I know you're talking to my girlfriend. The thing about Twitter is you don't even have to join to just kind of like look at it. Like, I can't look at your Facebook page if I'm not a member of Facebook. You can type twitter.com/AmyMatheny, and you can just look. You can click just my profile, and it'll just show you what I've posted. You won't see anybody else's.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, like, for me, I accept everybody. Everybody's my friend. If you say friend request, you're my friend.
Because you're able to control the information coming in, right?
Well, right. And that's bad. That's good.
I don't
know.
I just don't – everybody always describes Facebook to me as, like, it's just like my – it's like my bulletin board. It's like where I get to post all my pretty things and where I get to reconnect with people from high school and elementary school. And I'm like, I don't need that. I'm, like, trying to declutter my home. I don't want to connect with anybody out in the ooh-ooh sphere. If I don't know you or you haven't found me, then – we're probably both okay. So, you know, it's like my friends, I know how to call. I know how to email you directly. I know how to say hi. And I don't know. You know, I could turn. Who knows? I never thought I would Twitter.
Amy, as a publicity tool, it's really kind of fantastic. I can't tell you how many, like, new students I've gotten off this thing. Also, I have to tell you the other thing that happened. I had a best friend when I was literally my first best friend ever, when I was 7 years old, when I lived in Playa del Rey, California. And he was my best friend for 3 years, and then he moved away. And he recently Facebooked me, and we're now like talking to each other. And this guy, I'm telling you, at a time when I was so confused about, am I a girl? Am I not a girl? And I don't know what's going on. We would play, you know, make believe. We'd play pretend and stuff. And every time we would play pretend, I would always be one of the female whatever, like the heroine or the damsel in distress or the whatever.
Nurse.
Or Lori Partridge. I loved playing Lori Partridge, especially when she got her braces. Remember that? When she had to suck everything
through
the straw.
I liked playing Buffy, Jody, and Sissy on Family Affair. That was my game.
Oh, Buffy and Sissy. One of them died from a heroin overdose.
My babysitter always had to be Sissy.
The point is that, like, he was the one male – well, one. He was the only male influence in my entire life who never – had any judgment. It was always like, yeah, great. Put the T-shirt on top of your head and play Lori Partridge. He was huge, and he was Mr. Baseball guy, he was Mr. Man of our little school, our little Hickory school in Playa del Rey, and he was my best friend. He was hugely, hugely influential in my life. And now that we're reconnected, I got a chance to tell him all of that. Like, literally send him this thing and go, listen, for the past 553 years, I have been like, you were a major influence on me. And here's my whole heart and soul. And I never would have gotten in contact with him had it not been for the Facebook.
Well, and I'm very pleased for you. That's a beautiful story.
Thanks. And also,
I'm not going to have any of those.
I think you need to do it. And also, I've gotten a chance to spread Katie's Corner all over the goddamn place. And can I just tell you this? Here's another heart-rendering story for you. I'm full of these today. I don't know why. Isn't that nice? So I do these little Katie Corners videos, which are on my YouTube thingy, which is basically Katharine Hepburn. I do Katharine Hepburn acting like an idiot. And so I post these on my little Facebook, and I got this little message back on my wall. And this guy wrote, I just showed a corner to a friend of mine who's been very, very, very ill for the last 5 or 6 years. And it's the first time he's laughed in I don't know how. Now, that sounds a little weird, but I mean, it's like I'm this hilarious comedian, but I didn't mean to sound like that. It's
you
the power
are, though. Those are hilarious.
Well, whatever. But I mean, it's the power of this new tool that everybody's gravitating towards. And because you get a chance to sort of rest in Facebook and look at people's pages and stuff, you get to really share some like cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm all for it for you. I think it's great.
You should do it, Amy.
We'll see.
You'll like it. You'll really like it.
That may be the problem. I don't need to be anywhere where I could settle for too long because I would become obsessed about it. So it's good. Twitter is like 140 characters as they zip through my head and then I'm done. You know, this is what I like about it. It's quick. It's easy. And I'm able to follow Helen Mirren, and she has not tweeted or twatted or anything in like a month and a half. I'm very devastated.
Damn it.
So there you go.
I wish she should twat about her breasts.
Oh, God.
She's got a hell of a rack, doesn't she?
She's got such a great body. Oh, I love that 60-year-old.
Oh, she's fantastic. I'd do her.
Oh, I would, too. Maybe we'll talk about that next time, because I'm starting to freak out about the fact that though I still tend to love the Cougars, I'm entering the cougar age, and I don't want to be a cougar. I want to love the Cougars. It's a problem.
Oh. Well, that means you'd have to love like Jessica Tandy or something.
Well, I'm loving Helen Mirren, so there you go. It's all
she's
relative.
She's not that old, is
right?
she?
She's 60. She's pretty
well,
past cougar, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
She's good looking.
Hey, the next show... we have Emily Saliers of the Indigo Girls on. I have never interviewed Emily, and we are going to have a great time talking with her about the new CD that she and Amy have coming out. Also, need to let you know this weekend, folks, this weekend, please come out to Sidetrack. It is the big Windy City Gay Idol semifinals. It is going to be fantastic. The doors open at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We start at 4 o'clock. 22 singers all vying for 12 spots.
Wow.
For the finals, and we have guest performances by Dylan Rice and also a little boylesque from Hot Toddy, cute bartender Todd, you know him as, at Sidetrack.
Oh, no, I'm not going to be there.
No, you're not going to be there.
No,
I can't afford you anymore.
It's true. No, that's true.
Now that you charge me a buck or 10, it's over my limit. It's going to be very exciting. Come on out. Everybody that enters, it's a $10 entry. You're going to get a free drink. You're going to be entered to win a trip that day, this Saturday, to Toronto for a trip for two. Plus, I've got the new season one Designing Women DVDs to give out, as well as tickets to Ravinia.
You could be at the free clinic all the time.
Exactly. I've got tickets to Ravinia and also tickets to Spring Awakening. I mean, let me tell you, there's a lot you're going to get. Plus, you're going to get a great, great show. So come on out to Windy City Gay Idol semifinals this Saturday, May 30th.
I have to tell you, and I have to tell everybody who's listening, seriously, even if you don't like American Idol, this American Gay Idol is actually really cool.
Oh, it's super, super, super
fun. It really is.
And we haven't even gotten to talk about the Gay Idol, so we'll talk about him next time because it's almost old news now, but we'll talk a little bit about that. So Alexander Billings on the show with me next show, along with an Indigo Girl. With one of the two, Emily, on the show. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast. Queer and now.